Once again, welcome to VetMen Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo. Thanks for downloading and listening. Here's what we'll cover in this episode for the week of March 7th. Microsoft's OOXML standard wins approval. April Patch Tuesday comes with 8 fixes. XP license extended to cheap PCs. And just in time for tax season, beware of this IRS phishing scam. We'll head to the first news bits from Redmond right after this quick sponsor message from Citrix.
Virtualization is one of the most talked about technologies in recent history. You know the benefits already, but are your servers virtualized yet? Are you waiting because of the cost and complexity? There's no need to wait. Citrix Zen Server is the simple, low-cost way to get up and running now. In as little as 10 minutes, your servers can be virtualized. So download a free copy of Citrix Zen Server now. Just go to www.citrix.com/zenserver. That's www.citrix.com/xenserver and get your 10 minutes to Zen.
Welcome back once again, and thanks for listening to Redmond Radio, the weekly podcast roundup of Microsoft news and other IT happenings. I'm your host, Michael Domingo, and I'd like to thank everyone who downloads or streams this show or shares it with his colleagues. And be sure to listen to the end of the podcast to find out how to enter my weekly Redmond t-shirt giveaway. Now here's what made headlines over at redmondmag.com last week. The MIT Kerberos Consortium has added Microsoft to the ranks of its formal industry supporters. The company joined the group last week as a founding sponsor, gaining a seat on the executive board that also includes representatives from Apple, Sun, and Google. Microsoft's Director of Windows Core Security, Slava Kavsan, will occupy the board seat. MIT Executive Director of the Kerberos Consortium, Stephen Buckley, said that although Microsoft was not a formal sponsor of the consortium before now, it has been involved in Kerberos since the release of Windows 2000. Kerberos itself is a network authentication protocol that originated at MIT. The consortium that formed around it back in September aims to expand the protocol to offer data protection to a wider range of clients, including various consumer devices, and to release open source implementations that will be available to consortium members without licensing fees. Microsoft released a new update to its mobile operating system called Windows Mobile 6.1. They did that at the CTIA Wireless 2008 show last week. The company also rolled out a new version of its Internet Explorer web browser to work on mobile screens. Microsoft also said that it's distributing a version of System Center that manages mobile devices. Windows Mobile 6.1 contains a few usability improvements, but it also integrates with Mobile Device Manager 2008 or Exchange Server 2007 SP1 to support enterprise management of mobile devices. Enterprises can use Mobile Device Manager to maintain security, file storage, encryption, and virtual private networks associated with mobile smartphones. Microsoft's Office OpenXML document format was accepted as an international standard, according to an announcement last week by the International Organization for Standardization. What that means is that there are now two international standards for sharing Office Productivity Suite files. OOXML is used in Office 2007 for sharing Word, Excel, and PowerPoint file information, and the rival standard, Open Document Format, is currently used in Sun Microsystems OpenOffice.org and IBM's Lotus Symphony Open Productivity Suites, among others. The ISO's announcement still left room for at least 2 months' delay in implementation due to appeals. Meanwhile, outside the process, allegations swirled about voting improprieties, particularly with regard to participating country Norway's vote. A Grokla article summarized some of the questions about the ISO-IEC voting process, as well as issues unaddressed by the participating international bodies. Microsoft blogger Jason Matisau attributed much of the opposition to OOXML's approval to IBM, which backs the rival ODF standard. Redmond last week said in its security preview that it planned to release 8 security bulletins for its April patch release this week, with 5 designated as critical and 3 deemed important. Most of the fixes are aimed at plugging up remote code execution flaws in Office, i.e. in Windows. Meanwhile, the important fixes represent a hodgepodge of security preparedness measures as they attempt to block spoofing, elevation of privilege, and RCE attacks. The company said it will also push IE7 out via Windows Update and update the Windows malicious software removal tools. Microsoft also last week provided new details about extending the life of Windows XP. The company said it plans to extend XP Home licensing only to low-cost OEM PC manufacturers to June 30, 2010, or 1 year after the release of the next version of Windows. The next version, specifically, is what's being called Windows 7, which is expected sometime in 2010. While XP Home gets somewhat of a reprieve, other versions will have a hard stop at the end of June this year, according to a Microsoft blog post. That date only applies to availability, since mainstream technical support is supposed to continue to April 2009. And in our last item in this segment, last week at 1105 Media's very own VS Live conference, Visual Studio Group Manager Stephanie Saad held a session that previewed the next version of Visual Studio Team's system, dubbed Rosario. A limited CTP of Rosario was released last November. While features are still new in development and not set in stone, among the considered capabilities Saad demonstrated were integration with Office Project Server and some lightweight project management and reporting tools in Excel. Some new testing capabilities, such as historical debugging, test impact analysis, and standalone debugging, plus a set of administrative and operations improvements and source control enhancements. Saad said that Microsoft may also offer Team Foundation Server, a source control, data collection, reporting, and project tracking toolset as a hosted service. Up next, we'll have news from the far reaches of IT. And do remember to listen to the very end of the podcast to find out how to enter the T-shirt giveaway. You're listening to Redmond Radio. Again for listening to Redmond Radio. If you enjoy listening to this program and staying informed with what's happening in IT, please pass this show around to your colleagues. Before we finish up with the rest of the podcast news, here's an update regarding what's online on the Redmond Media Group websites. In Redmond Magazine in April, a look at the power of user groups and how they can help improve your IT career. And in Redmond Channel Partner in the April issue, how partners can profit from the green computing push. And finally, a reminder to listen all the way to the end of the podcast for details on how to enter our weekly Redmond T-shirt giveaway. Now let's check out some newsworthy IT items from last week. IBM last week released Lotus Quicker 8.1, an update to the company's collaborative learning tool. The new version adds Microsoft Outlook support and integration with Lotus Connections, among other enhancements. Lotus Quicker is both a web and a desktop-based rich collaboration and file sharing environment available in standard and entry editions. The standard edition provides a media repository, a set of web services for content management and collaboration, and plugins for accessing Quicker through desktop apps. Lotus Quicker Entry is similar to standard but geared toward personal file sharing, rather than team collaboration and multi-user document sharing. A report released by Gartner last week said that virtualization will be the most significant trend through the next 4 years. The report said that not only will virtualization impact IT professionals working on everything from servers to desktops, it will also mean changes for the market as vendors compete and also consolidate. One main reason Gartner cites for virtualization's impact is the strong promise of server virtualization, which it says will allow organizations to get much more out of their infrastructure. In fact, Gartner thinks server virtualization has already reduced the market for x86 servers by 4% in 2006. And researchers at Gartner expect there to be 4 million virtual machines by 2009. Gartner also predicts that PC virtualization will increase rapidly during the next 3 years, with the 5 million virtualized PCs in 2007 leaping to 660 million by the end of 2011. Reasons Gartner gives for virtualization's rapid rise include sharp drops in hypervisor prices and management costs, plus increased flexibility and choices due to decoupling technology that breaks the close ties and dependencies between hardware and the operating system, and between the operating system and applications. Gartner Vice President Thomas Bittman even predicts that the days of the monolithic general-purpose operating system will soon be over. Federal agencies' adoption of online applications from Google Enterprise could usher in an era of rising productivity and improved security, said David Girard, Google's Vice President and General Manager. During a keynote at the FOSI 2008 conference last week, Girard said that 10 of 15 cabinet agency sites use Google search technology, and cited the tens of thousands of Google Earth users among the ranks of federal employees. Girard noted the 80,000 members of the intelligence community who contribute some 5,000 items daily to Intellipedia, an online information pool that closely reflects methods used in the Google-sponsored Wikipedia. Girard said that federal agencies increasingly benefit from Google's collaborative tools. He emphasized the role of such tools in shifting work methods in both the federal and private sectors toward team productivity and away from individual effort. The spread of Google apps and the cloud computing approach, in which data resides online and tools arrive as a service, promises to increase security from federal users, said Girard. As an example, he mentioned that he recently lost his laptop PC, but lost no data because the data remained secure and available online. In other news from the FOSI event, a Cisco survey of 200 federal workers revealed that bots and spyware topped the list of security worries from federal technologies. Of those surveyed, more than half said they were kept up at night, worrying about bots and spyware. 55% of respondents reported security breaches as the second top worry for federal IT security. Inadequately trained employees was next with 53%. And employee data loss came in fourth with 51%, while citizen data loss was fifth at 50%. And in our final item, a new phishing scam that combines email and phone calls surfaced last week, masquerading as an urgent message from the IRS about a tax refund. Vishing, or voice phishing, is still a new technique, said Sam Masiello, director of threat management at MX Logic. He said that the practice is becoming more prevalent because it offers scammers a way to get around blacklists used to block traffic to malicious websites. Instead of including a link to the website in the fraudulent email, recipients are asked to call a phone number and are then asked for credit card information. Another advantage for criminals of vishing is that people who might be wary of web links might trust a phone number. The latest scheme is just the latest in a series of tax season frauds that have appeared in the last few years, usually during the run-up to the April 15th deadline for filing personal tax returns. And that's it for this week's episode of Redmond Radio, by the way. As usual, before we end the podcast, I'd like to once again remind faithful Redmond Radio listeners that you can win a t-shirt in my weekly Redmond t-shirt giveaway. It's real easy to enter. Just send me an email with the new t-shirt giveaway phrase, "I want a t-shirt," on the subject line of your message to mdomingo@1105media.com. That's mdomingo at 1105media.com. And note the phrase is "I want a t-shirt," not Redmond t-shirt, as it has been in the past. Entries not sporting the new phrase will be ignored. This week's winner, Steve B., who hails from Denver. Thanks to Steve for listening, and good luck to everyone next week. That's it for this episode of Redmond Radio. I'm Michael Domingo. I'd like to thank Citrix once again for their sponsorship of this program, and I also want to thank all you listeners who continue to support Redmond Radio by streaming and downloading this program. See you here next week.